This is KUT 90.5. I'm Nathan Bernier. Almost once every hour, a U.S. military veteran takes his or her life. The federal government reports that 22 veterans and one active duty soldier commit suicide every day on average. Austin veteran Andrew O'Brien almost became one of them in 2010 when he returned from a 12-month deployment to Iraq. But he survived, and now he's telling his story to raise awareness about post-traumatic stress disorder and military suicides. He will be speaking tonight at the Marquesa Theater here in Austin. I spoke to Andrew a little earlier, and he told me about the events that led up to his suicide attempt. It started when he was serving in Iraq in 2009 as a lead gunner on long convoys.
Lead gunner is the person that is in the lead vehicle that protects the rest of the convoy, watches out for IEDs and attacks.
Pretty stressful job.
Yes, very stressful. It feels like the whole world's on your shoulders because you feel like everybody behind you is depending on you. So we're on mission one day, and we passed this other convoy coming the opposite direction. And so, you know, we just rotated our weapons away from each other, waved at each other, and that was it. So we go about our day and complete the mission, and on our way back, we hear the radio traffic about a convoy getting hit. So we all get back to the base and we're all pretty shooken up. You know, that last 20 miles or so to the base, you're just shaking and you're watching because you feel like something's going to attack you anytime. And so we get back to the base and they pull us into a formation. They say, hey, there were no survivors in that IED attack. They tell us, don't look under the tarp. They covered it with a tarp because they didn't want us to see anything. You know, they were trying to protect us. So I thought, okay, maybe if I look into this tarp cover truck, it'll raise my awareness and nothing like this will happen to me. And so one night when no one was out there, even though they ordered us not to, I go and look in the truck and I see just this mess. And I mean, it was just, you know, as soon as you see it, you turn around and you throw up, you know, because of the smell and everything you see out there. And so after that, I became very aware, you know, a little too aware. I'd point out little pieces of trash. I'd stop the convoy. You know, I became very paranoid because I didn't want that happening to my truck or my guys. And so when I came back, I started having these dreams. It was the same truck, but instead of some other guys from another unit, it was my guys in the truck. These nightmares, you would get stuck in them. You'd know it was a dream, but you couldn't wake yourself up. Any loud noise, you know, I had to sit with my back against the wall everywhere I went, and I just became extremely paranoid. And in Iraq, that was fine because that was how you survived. But back home, you know, you have to kind of take over that feeling. And it was hard for me to do. I tried to get help from a counselor, and the counselor ended up downplaying what I was telling her. She didn't think it was that big of a deal. And, you know, she actually at one point thought I was lying about what I was saying.
Really?
Yes. And she, you know, I guess it's because she heard worse. And so she thought, you know, why would this affect him when this other story affected this soldier? And that was a real story. Or, you know, I don't know what the way she was thinking.
So how did her disbelief in your story affect how you were feeling?
That was really hard because it took me 6 months until I finally decided to get help. Before that actually happened, I was pulled out in front of my formation by my first sergeant. And she called me out because they gave me a piece of paper that said I can't go to a firing range because I wasn't comfortable with it. So my first sergeant pulled me out in front of my formation and called me out in front of everybody, you know, and told everybody about my mental issues, and that stuff's supposed to be private, you know. So I just felt embarrassed by that. So after that, I just stopped talking about it, and I just pushed it down. And then a couple months later, in November of 2010, I finally just decided I was done. And I was tired of pushing it down, and I was tired of not being able to talk about it and open up about it and feeling ashamed for feeling the way I did. And so I go into my kitchen and find 4 bottles of pills, chug them down, and then next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in the hospital the next morning.
So what happened after that?
I woke up and, you know, my best friend, my sergeant, who I actually lived with off base, had been sitting there all night with me. I woke up and looked over at him and said, "You need to call your family." It's the first thing he said, and he told me that the doctors had to call them and tell them that they don't know if you're going to make it through the night because they didn't know the damage that the pills had done to my kidneys. And, you know, I'm based in Hawaii at this time. My family's in Dallas, so they couldn't come see me at the hospital. They just had to wait by the phone to see if I'd wake up. So the first thing I did was I called them, and I just immediately realized that, you know, I was really happy that I didn't succeed in what I attempted.
To hear you describe how difficult it was for you to obtain the kind of help that you needed, Do you think that things have changed since 2010?
I don't believe so, because I don't think the numbers would have gone up if they had changed.
The suicide numbers?
Correct. In 2011, it was at 18 veterans a day, and then 2012, it was at 22. It increased by 4 a day.
Have you met a lot of fellow soldiers who've gone through the same things that you've gone through?
You know, what I'm amazed by is I started this in February, just February, and since then I've been contacted by at least 10 veterans who have told me that they did either the exact same situation or put a weapon to their head and were about to pull the trigger. So a lot of veterans have contacted me and saying that they were at that exact moment.
What do you say to those veterans who go through that kind of despair?
I tell them that they shouldn't feel weak for feeling that way, and you know, just be happy that you didn't pull that trigger, or the doctor saved your life from the pills or whatever. But I tell them that PTSD doesn't have to control your life.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Andrew O'Brien is a U.S. military veteran who lives in Austin. He's trying to raise awareness about military suicides and post-traumatic stress disorder. And he will be speaking tonight from 7 to 9 at the Marquesa Theater, which is at the Lincoln Village Shopping Center just across from the Highland Mall. You're listening to All Things Considered on KUT 90.5.